It's a joy to come and share with you this morning, and I've got a message that in some ways I've shared a little bit with North before, but it's something that's still very real in my heart. And then over the summer period, you know, as people sort of feel like God gave them a word for the year, and as Pastor Alan was saying, you know, like, what's God saying to us? And my eldest son, or our eldest son in Australia, he wrote and just sort of said, I really feel God is saying this, and it was sort of what I've been thinking about still. And then we got talking to other people, and it's kind of resonating with them as well. But it's not like it's one thing. It opens up a whole arena of opportunities, and we're going to talk about it and share about it. But I want to start by opening up Isaiah 43 as a chapter that really stirs our hearts to realize that God is so merciful and graceful. We're talking about a group of people that were rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and 70 years or earlier, he was declaring to them, if you don't yield and surrender and submit yourself to me, I'm going to allow you to be invaded by the Babylonians and taken captive. And he was true to his word, and the circumstances happened that they were taken away captive for 70 years. And he declared it would be for 70 years. And you kind of think after 70 years, they must have been ready. You know, they must have been on their faces crying out to God, saying, oh, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. You know, help us to get back. But they weren't all right with God. But the chapter talks about the fact that God says, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to show you grace. I'm going to show you mercy. You're a chosen people. And even though we don't all deserve it, he's saying, I'm going to rescue you. And I'm going to bring you to myself. And as it was for the children of Israel back then, so it was and so it is for us today. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve the love. We don't deserve the grace. We never feel like we qualify or we're good enough for God to use us. And yet he does. And so this chapter is about the miraculous God redeeming, restoring his people after 70 years of captivity. It's a similar story to in Exodus, where for 400 years Israel was in Egypt. And then it came the time where God says, enough, it's time to come out, and I'm going to show you another land. And he brought them out after 400 years and did miraculous works in order to get them to the land that he had determined for them. But in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. And so despite even their lukewarmness to God, he's just saying, I'm going to show you my love and my miraculous power, and I'm going to lead you out. Not only lead you out, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to hold your hand. Father, we just thank you this morning that your word is alive and active. It might be Old Testament from the historical point of view, but these words just come alive and burn in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we thank you that we've called on your name this morning, and your presence is with us. And you're going to say different things to different people here today. But may we catch what you want to say to us in this day and hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if you've been in captivity for 400 years or 70 years for that matter, after a while, it's a bit like the Russians when communism swept through Russia in the early 1900s. And, you know, people were fleeing to get away from it, but a lot couldn't go anywhere. And so for 70 years, people were under communistic rule. And I had the privilege of going into Russia about 3 years after the Soviet Union broke up. And you go and you talk to these people, and it's almost like they got a glassy look to them. They're free, but they don't know what freedom actually means. They don't know how to express it. And so here they are, the children of Israel. God's saying, I'm going to lead you out, and I'm going to go before you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to show you things. And he was trying to boost their morale. He was trying to say to them, don't let past circumstances hold you back from what I want to show you today. And we've all got a past. And we've all had issues last year. None of us are immune to that. But the Lord is trying to say to us today that I want to lead you out. I want to lead you into new things. I want to reveal myself to you in ways you possibly have not expected before. And he says, and I will make a path against the impossible. Our daughter's looking for a job. She's been working in Hamilton commuting, and that looks all right on paper. But when you go over backwards and forwards, and she loves driving, but I think she's given that up now. And so she's believing God for a new job here in Tauranga. And so we're going to meet with her this week and the kids, and we're going to anoint her and believe God for the favor of God to come upon her in her particular field, and that he will open a door. We expect that to happen because we're God's children, and he wants the best for us. And he will lead in ways in which seem impossible in certain fields possibly. And you may be in that situation today. You may be saying, Lord, I just, you know, this is not for me, but I need to see what's next. And we need to, your connect group or whatever you may be belong to, that's the time to pray and say, I really believe in God for a breakthrough. And to experience it and see it happen. These people, 70 years in Babylon, they were downcast. They had a slave mentality, a defeatist mentality. Fear was part of who they were. And yet the word of the Lord is saying, it's time to be free. And some friends, we've got to shake these things off. And the word of God clearly helps us to know how to do that. I think the last time I spoke here, I spoke on praise is the password to the presence of God. And some of us need to walk around our living rooms. Some of us need to go for walks in the parks or whatever with our hands lifted up, and people think it's an exercise, so that's fine. But we've got to start speaking out and declaring the promises of God. We've got to align ourselves with what God's word is saying, not what circumstances are saying. Which brings us to global forecasts for 2023. Growing inflation, struggling economies, high interest rates, labor shortages, spiraling building costs. Sound familiar? It's not just a New Zealand problem. It's a global problem. And some of us might be here this morning saying, stop the world, I want to get off. Like, you know, I didn't buy into this. And yet, God in his wisdom, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, he knew you and I before the foundations of the world. He knew us. And he's, in his wisdom and his sovereignty, has appointed you and I to be alive today. Not 200 years ago, that we were to be part of this season of God's plan and purpose, and we were to embrace him in it and see his miraculous favor upon us. That the world would turn their heads and look and say, I want what they've got. See, our lives are to be a light in the situations in which we find ourselves. And if we listen to the forecasters, we're just going to start, our knees are just going to get lower and lower and lower, and we're not even going to think that God is out there, let alone alive. And the children of Israel in Babylon must have thought that too. I'm 70 years, 400 years, you know, in captivity, and God is saying, you're free. But they couldn't buy into it. Some of them possibly even questioned, does he exist? Is he real? Well, he is. And we've got to buy into him, not only buy into him, we've got to embrace him, we've got to believe that if we're going to do something fresh this year, new this year, let us make our walk with God more intimate, more real, more personal. Some of those songs today, you know, we've got to just play them over and over again so they go from here into here. And we become worshipers of God. And as worshipers of God, I tell you, you will see the Holy Spirit go before you. We will see Him do stuff that we are longing to see. Because only He can do it. And we're His sons and daughters. So verse 18 and 19 in Isaiah 43 says, and it's a very familiar verse, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. We've all got a past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I've highlighted, do you not perceive it? You know, some of us possibly could be blind, spiritually blind. We are, through circumstances, we just can't see God moving in our circumstances. We can't imagine our situation being different. And yet my Bible tells me, He says, behold, I'm about to do a new thing. I'm about to do a new thing. What's new for you could be different from new for me. And it's not to sort of say, I want what they've got, but I want what He wants me to have and walk in that. From a kingdom of God perspective, I believe there are new things ahead. Opportunities. This is a year of opportunities, friends. It's going to be a year of opportunities that we've got to take. And I believe the Lord would have us to be alert, expectant, and ready to move. Alert, expectant, and ready to move. Let me elaborate on this. When we're imagining what new things could possibly look like, we can be inclined to look back, think back to the past. Maybe some historical outpourings of the Holy Spirit, or things we've read about, or even incredible events that have happened in our lifetime. I remember when I first got saved as a young adult, being part of a church that missions was a vibrant part of who they were and what they were about. But at the same time, I just remember being in the middle of Queen Street in Auckland, and the doors were open on a summer's day like this, and the singing just went out through the doors onto the street. And people would walk in off the street and get saved. Merchant seamen would come into church because they heard a familiar hymn and they would get saved. They weren't walking with God. I've seen people run down the aisle because of the presence of God. And you grow up in that environment, and it was not just one church, it was through New Zealand. There was a move of God. And Tauranga had a huge part to play in resourcing the churches in New Zealand when in the summer times when they had all these camps and speaking events down here. And people would go home on fire. And we would see the outpouring of God in our towns and our churches. And we could say, do it again, Lord. But that was something from the past. And what He wants to do now is to say, what I'm about to do is a new thing. A new thing is not a repeat of the past. A new thing. God says, behold, I'm about to do a new thing. Oh, yeah, I'd love to see that move of God again they had in the 70s and the 80s and, you know, and on and on. But friends, sometimes our memories are very selective. We still had two major parties, National and Labor. We still had economic issues and all the rest of it, and there were struggles and all the rest of it. We only remember the good things. But at the same time, God is saying, a new thing is not a repeat of the past. Watch me. You know, we've all got an imagination, and our mind is very much part of who our soul. It's who we are. It's what we're going to take with us into eternity, is our imagination, our minds. And God's given us imaginations. And these The Lord is inviting us to partner with him with new things. Imagine something different. Let your imaginations focus on what God could do. He may correct it, he may adjust it, or he might sign off and say, I'm with you on that one. We were spending time with our grandchildren over the just in the recent weeks or so, and our eldest one, she's working with Pastor Tamati over at the other side, and she's helping with the youth, and she just said, you know, Grandpa, it's like I can get overwhelmed sometimes. My phone, I've put it on flight mode while I'm up here. I've told everyone I'm going on holiday because the youth just keep asking this and asking that. And she wears you out. And I says, put it away. Put it away. And she said, it's wearisome. You know, you see a breakthrough with someone and then someone else has got an issue and you're trying to help them and you're spreading yourself so thinly. And I said to her, have you heard the story about the man walking on the beach and coming upon a whole bunch of starfish early in the morning? And they all got washed up during the night. She said, no. And I said, well, it was an elderly man coming the other way, and he was watching this young man pick up the starfish and throw it back into the water. And as they got closer, the older man said, son, what do you think you're doing? They're everywhere, thousands of them. What difference is it making? And the young man bent down, picked up a starfish, and said, well, to this starfish, it makes a big difference. And I said, concentrate on the one and then the next one. Just focus on the one. Believe God to multiply, to bring others alongside. God's in the multiplication business. We're all short. The coffee shops are short of help. You know, God, when we give our lives to him, he multiplies our time, our resources, certainly anoints our giftings. But we can't save the world. But we can certainly focus on the one and the two. And if we all were to do that, I think a lot of lives would be touched rather than spread ourselves with, hi, how are you doing? Great to see you. See you next week. Verse 19 says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive, he's saying, what I'm about to do? Do you not feel it? Do you not have that expectation? Do you not have that stirring in your heart? Do you think that the status quo is just going to carry on, that Christian life is just going to be the same again and again and again every year? Or is it possible I could do a new thing in your life? Yeah. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to say, Lord, start with me. I'm selfish, Lord. I want you to start with me. And that's not a problem with him. Well, as Pastor Alan says, we've been involved in overseas work for a long time, and we're getting back into it shortly, but I thought I'd let you know of some new things that have been happening during COVID. The 3 years COVID has ravished the world and has caused all sorts of mayhem. Whether you believe it or not, it's happened. But the kingdom of God's gone forward. The kingdom of God has expanded. And I was just reading through some of the testimonies that have come through from the field recently, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is fantastic. Let me start with Open Doors, a ministry, a well-known ministry that we used to take Bibles into China and Vietnam, all those closed communist countries in Asia. Back in the 60s and 70s, and Open Doors really just got established to help smuggle Bibles. A lot of Christians became smugglers. And the word of God got to the people that needed it. Open Doors declares today that Christians in China outweigh members of the Communist Party. You're not going to read it on the internet. And you're certainly not going to hear it on the airwaves. Of the top 20 nations where Christianity is growing the fastest worldwide, of the top 20 nations, 11 of them are predominantly Muslim populated nations. Muslim nations today, people are coming to the Lord in large numbers, and Iran is one of those crazy nations. That God's blessing. And a lot of Christians don't quite figure out why. Because there's a people there calling on the name of the Lord, and they've been wonderfully saved. Sam and Carol Sakata reported about Indonesia, that things are changing over there, that social media is not just a negative thing, it's a positive thing too. And people are talking, Muslims are talking. I wouldn't have a problem with my children going to a Christian school. And then the government passes a law saying kids don't have to wear religious paraphernalia to school anymore if they choose not to. They can dress in mufti. And if you've ever been to Indonesia, you would see that they all look so much the same like we have in New Zealand with uniforms. But here in Indonesia, they're giving people the freedom to choose whether they want to look Muslim or not. It's all very different. And it's having a major effect on the communities. The center of Christian gravity, where Christianity is doing well globally, is what we call the global south. It's almost like if you take a line like the equator and all the nations under the equator globally, around the globe, there is a move of God taking place in such a way that the Western world is not the predominant Christian nations anymore, in the sense of communities, numbers, etc. Things are changing. 65% of all Christians live in developing nations. 65%. Our organization has had a major transformation. When I talk over the leadership in the 90s, it was like a 70-30 ratio. Now it's 60-40. 70-30 was 70% Western, 30% non-Western. Today, 60-40, 60% non-Western, 40% Western. And the Westerners are still doing a great job, but they've had to learn how to adjust and strategize with the new age in which we find missions. 2/3 today of the world's mission force is from the developing world. And our role is how do we partner with these people to get them from Asia into Russia, Asia into Europe, Asia into parts of America even, and they're coming to us as well. Europe, 51 nations today. 51 nations, over 1,000 languages, and we see all these migrants trying to get into Europe, different parts of Europe on these rowboats, flimsy boats, and many lose their lives, but a lot of them make it. And it's been calculated 48% of those who make it have a Christian heritage. They take you coming into Europe, and we've met people in Africa and Asia have a sense of, we have a burden for the UK. We have a burden for Europe. We want to see the gospel come back to these nations that blessed us. It's all getting turned on its head. So how do we partner with this new thing God is doing? And then there's the house church movement. And you've got to realize that you just can't go and build a church in most non-Western countries. You become a target. And people pay a big price to become a Christian, especially if they come from Hindu, Buddhist, or Muslim backgrounds. But the house church movements are exploding in many developing nations. Large numbers of baptisms. We have a work amongst a particular group of people in Mozambique, and in the last 6 years, they've been averaging every year between 1,100 and 1,400 baptisms a year. The missionaries went there for 1 year, raised up about seven leaders. They went back to their respective villages, and a fire broke out. It's called the fire of God. We sang about it this morning. And suddenly, village after village got a Christian witness. And wherever they go, people are hearing this word of hope, this word of love, this word that God's got a plan for my life. God's got a purpose for my life. They don't hear that in their religions. They're just told to pay and sacrifice and do this and do that, but they don't hear that God's got a plan. And it's a new thing God's doing in the developing world. And I want to be part of it. And I'm saying, Lord, how can I partner with what you're doing without ruining it? Because I'll go in with my Western mindset, but there's so much available to help us train online, as well as various courses today. The Kairos course is a wonderful, wonderful tool for people to understand, get a perspective of God, how God looks upon the nations. And this church is blessed to be able to facilitate that. And there are other courses. There are mission teams going out today from this church to Fiji. And I saw Sean Sutcliffe briefly, and International Needs is leading the team into Bangladesh. Not one of my favorite destinations. I've never got to Honolulu yet, but I've always go to Bangladesh. And yet, God is there. And God's doing great things. How many of you like Thai food? One, two, three. Quite a few. Come with us, end of July. Escape the New Zealand winter. Come away to Thailand and sit in a global conference where people will come from all the different nations, and you will hear firsthand what God's doing, the new things God is doing in their vineyard, in their backyard. We had one about 4 years ago, and a friend of ours, I invited some business people from New Zealand to come with us, and one friend came from Wellington, and anyway, he got up there before we did, and I said to them when we were having it, go and sit down with someone you don't know and have a meal with them, and if they look different, ask them questions, like, where do you come from? And so our friend from Wellington sat down with a chap from Burkina Faso, and our friend from Burkina Faso said to him, so how was your day, or how was your week? And my friend went on and griped and groaned about delayed flights and lost luggage and various things. Must have flown Jetstar. But, you know, anyway, he had issues. And then he turned, he said, so how was your week? And our friend from Burkina Faso says, well, I'm really pleased to be here. He said, 8 days ago, I was kidnapped. And I wasn't sure I was going to make my flight to Singapore, to Thailand. And he said, 2 days before the flight left, they released me because they did believe I wasn't doing any harm, because he was witnessing and evangelism to children. And my friend thought, he's been kidnapped and I'm complaining about missed luggage and that. And he said, I just wanted to slide off the chair. My first world problems compared to people from the developing world. Friends, we need sometimes a bit of a shock to know that we're not in the real world. We have our issues, we have our problems, etc. Better look at the clock. If you see any band members stand up, will you pull them down again? But anyway, God's doing stuff. And if you want to do something different, come and have some Thai food in Asia, and we'll tell you more about that. But today, the big focus is to get the gospel to peoples that have never heard it before. And they're called unreached people groups. That's how the mission organizations, the ministries, identify them. And generally, they're scattered people. They could be going into the cities looking for work. They could be in the universities looking for education, whatever. But they've never heard the gospel before. They've been reached, and they just have a major transformation of their lives, and they want to tell their friends and et cetera about it. But an unreached people group is generally, there's less than 2% of them that are followers as an ethnic community. And they don't have the ability to evangelize on their own. And so we send, many organizations today are focusing on the unreached people groups, because that's the new thing God has given missions today, is to focus upon those that have never heard the gospel before. Just don't keep sowing into nations where the gospel's already established. Raise those people up to go to their near neighbors, across the borders, into other countries. They could do it, but they want partnership. They want us to pray with them. They want us to be able to help them to set up fish farms, or, you know, get water from down there up into that hill, or whatever it might be. Engineers and horticulturalists and educationalists and builders and, oh, just the whole professional realm. You can go and make a difference. This church, New Zealand churches, are extremely wealthy. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking skills, talents, untapped resources of people that God has blessed and you've been able to make a good living, but there's still a yearning inside of us saying, is there more? Is there more that I could be doing that I'm not seeing? And I believe in this season that we're in now, where God says, I'm going to do a new thing. We need to be aware of it, that there's still some of us are called to have a global impact. Others are called to help send. Others are called to partner in different ways. But find our place. Don't let our lives, our Christian walk, just be about me and my and I. Look like with the giraffe. Look over the fence. See the fields are ripe, ready, opportunities. Here in New Zealand, missions is alive. Good things are happening. Very quickly, the 50 largest unreached people groups today in the world. This is Christianity Today, a very reputable ministry. It's been going for quite some time. They have their finger on the pulse of information as they are aware of it. And they say that of the 50 largest unreached people groups, put them all together, we're talking about 1.5 billion people. And each group of these 50 have at least 10 million people. So of the 50 biggest unreached people groups, the smallest would be 10 million. This is the interesting one. 80% of them have never met a Christian. 80% of them have never met a Christian. Maybe you could be the face. Maybe you're going on a short-term trip sometime. Put it on your bucket list for the year. Let it happen. You will be more blessed than those that you bless. But you will be blessed because you come home and you kiss the tarmac and you thank God, I survived. There's some great places out there to go to. Finally, just the last couple of verses, Psalm 84, verse 5, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. You know, the instruction of the Lord teaches that the right attitude with him is one of being on a pilgrim. We're on a pilgrimage. This world is not our home. We build homes and we plant our gardens, etc., and that's fine. That's right. That's what we're meant to do. But God will call us to himself sometime. In the meantime, we're on a journey in search of God and his kingdom. And we should accept the fact we're never going to arrive. We're on a journey that we'll never arrive at until we reach eternity, that is. But here on earth, that journey is going to carry on. Never stop learning. Never stop being willing to grow. Never stop taking a step that you've never taken before. Step out in faith. Lord, I want you to do a new thing. Start with me. Start with me. In Exodus 12:11, this is the children of Israel after 400 years about to leave Egypt. And it's Passover time. And if you remember the story, they were to put a blood above the doorposts. And the angel of death, as it came through Egypt, if they saw the blood, he would pass by. And so the Israelites had done that, and they were preparing Passover, and it says in verse 11 of Exodus 12, and thus you shall eat it, and with a belt on your waist, and sandals on your feet, and a staff in your hand, so shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You see, the Passover was to be eaten in haste, because the Lord was saying, it's time to move. It's time to move. And they were to dress appropriately. They were to dress in a way that when God said move through Moses, they moved. And friends, I believe we need to dress symbolically like that. We need to keep our passports valid. Don't let the grass grow under your feet. Be willing and available. An opportunity comes by and you think, I've got the time to do it. Go. Just go. You might come back and never go again, but you're gone and done something that's going to change your life. We've just got to look for these opportunities. And Jesus said the same in Matthew 10. And he told the disciples to go out And the fact is, it was a journey of no return. They were to dress for it. So the message in Isaiah 43 today, the message is that we've got to learn from the past. We've got to be alert. We've got to be expectant. And the Lord is saying, trust me, I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to walk with you through whatever circumstances that you are in, that you're facing, that you need to come out of. You're not alone. I will be with you. The whole deliverance from Egypt, from Babylon, would have been meaningless unless the people were willing to leave Egypt, which speaks of the world. We're going to leave the world behind. We're in the world, but don't let it contaminate us. Don't let its standards be put upon us. Whatever happens this year on the political field, don't allow that to affect your spirit in a way you're not hearing from God. Because God's above it all. And you and I have got to get above it. We have the right to vote, and it's a privilege to vote. But we're above those things. Let God do a new thing in us. Let us see things from His perspective. Let us get picked up on wings like an eagle and look down and see things through the Word of God, through power, through His presence. And I believe it's going to be a year of change. Easy to say. But I just sense there's going to be adjustments that are going to be needed to be made. Are we willing to make adjustments? Are we willing to take steps of faith? Like Jesus, or the Word of God says, do you not perceive what I'm about to do? Would you stand with me, please? You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet has an encounter with the living God, and the voice of the Lord says, who can I send? Who is there? Well, maybe God wants to send us somewhere. But until that happens, He just wants a soft heart. He wants a willingness to say, I can come and just prod your heart and say, this is what I'm asking of you. And we've got to come to that place. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about His kingdom. So this morning, I want to pray first. I want to pray a prayer where we're basically lifting our hands and saying, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me here in New Zealand. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see what You're doing, that I can partner with You rather than resist what I don't understand is happening. If that's where you're at, you just want to surrender and say, Lord, if You want to do a new thing, I know You want to do a new thing. Start with me. Lift your hand as I pray. Father God, we stand before You today conscious of our need to build a relationship with You more intimate, to hear Your voice more clearly, to sense Your presence in a way, Lord, that we just feel so wrapped up in Your arms that we know we're in the center of Your will. And I pray that for each person here today, that this year will be a year where we are in the center of the will of God. We're in the hollow of Your hand. And Lord, if You want to show us something, an opportunity, You want to awaken us by doing something we've never done before, we say, Lord, here am I. Start with me. Holy Spirit, take charge, I pray. Take charge of our lives. Be glorified. And may we bring You much pleasure this year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.